Life is about making yourself better. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be an athlete, an artist, a gamer. It doesn't matter. All of us want to be the best version of ourselves. That's what we are here for. We talk to students in leadership positions who have achieved great things, but who are just here working to get better. Because here, we discuss how to be better as people. Here, Swole is the goal. Welcome back to the Swole is the Goal podcast, season 2, episode 2. Here we go. So, if this is your first time listening, this is the Swole is the Goal podcast. This is where we discuss leadership tactics, discipline strategies, all from a high schooler's perspective. Because it's good to get that sometimes. It's good to get a different look to improve. And today, it's not a solo podcast. I'm joined by another guest, Mr. Jacob Jones.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Welcome. Welcome to the Swole's Go podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's great. So, Jacob, why don't you tell the listeners a little about yourself? Let's get this thing started.
Of course, I'm Tony's friend. I go to high school with him. I'm a senior, and I play some football on the side, but I'm really excited to be here and talk with him about some important subjects.
I'm glad to hear. I'm glad you pointed out you play football on the side because, you know, I've had a couple athletes in here before, and, you know, you obviously don't play for the school, so it's good to get a different look how people see a sport differently, and not just a sport, but how they see anything differently, how to get a different look at something, because that's what I'm really focused on is, you know, trying to find how other people find ways to improve, because I have my own ways and I could be setting those as much as I want to, but if I'm not learning from other people, then there's no way for me to improve, because if I'm just stuck in, you know, oh, I do it this way and I'm never going to change, then that doesn't give me a chance to adapt. So how long have you been doing that? How long has that been going on for you, football on the side?
All my life, basically. Mm-hmm. I played football for the middle school with you.
Yep.
And tore my ACL in 8th grade, so I hadn't played high school football, and then things just got messed up, so I never really got back into it, but I've stayed playing football on the outside because, you know, it's a passion of mine. I love doing it. I'd like to say I'm okay at it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. So let's kind of dig in here a little bit. So I've started this series last year on leadership, and I actually got around to recording an episode with a guest, but I never put it out. Well, I did put it out. It got copyrighted, and I could have gone through the process of appealing and putting it back out, and I actually started that process, but then I kind of thought about the episode itself, and I thought, you know, this is kind of redundant because the only thing we talked about is what is a leader that entire time. And it was probably a 30-minute episode of just what a leader is. And it was a lot of repetition, a lot of the same stuff going on. And I think leadership is like – there's a lot of things leaders can do. But when it comes down to looking at what a leader is, it really isn't that complicated in my mind.
No, yeah, definitely not.
A leader – basically what I always say is a leader is someone who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And, you know,
I like that.
Yeah.
Put that on the t-shirt.
Yeah, I might have to. But yeah, when you look at it, leaders, being a leader isn't something that's super complicated to do. I think, you know, there's no really such thing as leaders and non-leaders. There's good leaders and bad leaders.
Yeah.
Because everyone who's in a group can influence that group in a certain way. So when you really break it down, everybody is in a leadership position.
And everyone can become a leader with knowledge and different viewpoints on things. Because I think a good, you know, leaders, they have their viewpoint on things. And I mean, you know, if you think about high school leaders, like I'm going to talk about like mentors, coaches, teachers, usually it's the way that goes as the leader. But they're open to other point of views on a subject or a topic, and that's what makes them the good leader, because they're not just set in their ways like you just talked about.
Yes, and to add to that, when we look at leaders, like if I'm in a leadership position, this is going to kind of sound odd, but I don't want the people that I'm leading to 100% obey me.
Because no, I get that.
You would kind of think that, you know, if you're a leader, that what I say goes. But when you really break it down, if everyone's listening to you 100% of the time and you get no other input and no other perspective from them, that can become dangerous.
And overwhelming.
And overwhelming.
Because you don't understand, like some people don't understand the weight that is put on you as a leader. So getting other people's perspective isn't even like – it is about being a good leader and diversifying. Mm-hmm. But it's also about like if you get someone else's perspective on something and you go with it, or it is a better way to do things or think about things, then there's some weight taken off your shoulder because you're not the only one thinking about things. You're not the only one running things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how that really can be applied is – if I'm on the football field and I call a certain check or whatever, I call something that I see, and then someone next to me goes, no, there's two running backs in the backfield or something. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. Never mind. Let's check this. Because at the end of the day, it's almost essential as a leader to get other people's perspectives, because the ultimate goal of a leader in my mind is to not have to lead. If you can build up a group to where – they can rely on each other and bounce things off each other, then I think that's like the ideal situation to be in.
If your leader can just sit back and he's willing to let other people run things and lead things and work together, that's a great leader right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really good. Let's talk about when still going off of leadership. What do you think leadership is earned, or should it be just
given,
handed out free? Yeah.
It's definitely earned, because, you know, if you just give it out left and right, you could be giving it to someone who will take advantage of it and use it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it's earned, because, I mean, no offense to not great football players, but you notice on every football field the leaders are – usually some of the best-minded and best players on the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they've earned it. They play hard. They have a good mindset. They know what's going on. But then the person that appointed them to being a leader or kind of gave them the title also realized that he'll be a good leader because he'll help other people be leaders, not just himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot about bringing other people up. And – so what kind of goes hand in hand with this, what I also wrote down on there, is leadership capital. And so that's – a lot of people don't really know what that means, but it's pretty self-explanatory. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like good karma, and I'll kind of explain this. So leadership capital is basically the leadership points, unquote, that you – build up over a time of being part of a group. So just an example, let's say that you want something from – let's say you want something for Christmas. This is just a really basic example. You want a new pair of shoes or whatever. If you've been really, really nice to your parents, then you probably have a better chance of getting that. But if you haven't been, if you've been – a lot of trouble, if you've been, you know, a pain for them, there's probably a less chance that you get that. And so how leadership capital kind of works is, and you can have negative leadership capital too, it works kind of just like that. So if I'm doing good things for a team, I will naturally build up leadership capital for them. If I'm open to listen to them, if I'm not being harsh, then the chances are they're going to listen to me a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people can get caught up in the fact that, oh, I'm a leader. I need to be strong. I need to have authority. Or maybe that's just their egos that are saying that.
Which you do need that.
You do need that in certain
you also need to be open to new ideas. And also, mm-hmm. I think as a leader, it's a great way to build relationships.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people turn to you and look at you for help or for guidance. And if you can guide them correctly and be assertive but positive and good-minded, you'll build great relationships, because every time there's something going on or someone doesn't know what to do, some other people may think, hey, go to Tony for this, because he knows it and he can help you out with it. And then, you know, they go to you, and that's how you build more relationships, because you're kind of a top-tier guy around, but you're also not, because you're all equals there.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a credit score.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I'm being open as a leader, you know, if I tell you to do something, you're probably more likely going to do it. But if all I'm doing is saying, do this, leaving no room for questioning, no room for correction, no room for, you know, others' opinions, then they're not going to listen to me 100% of the time. And like I said, you know, it's not always a bad thing for them to
You're
going to
lose credit.
You're going to lose that credit.
They're going to stop. And that's where things really get messed up, when there's that appointed leader and no one takes them seriously or listens to them. And in most of those scenarios, it's because the leader messed up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if it's a good leader and he's there for a reason, then he clearly knows how to build relationship and listen to everyone.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So if there's something going on, it's because he messed up. He didn't listen to everyone. He dismissed people.
Yeah. I like to say, or I've heard this many times before from a lot of different people, there's no such thing as bad teams. There's only bad leaders.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that happens in your group and in your team as a leader falls back on you.
Yes. Because leaders a lot of time won't take full responsibility for their team. And that's kind of the caveat of, you know, the catch of a leader is, oh, you get, I don't even want to say more power, but more, almost more respect. Because when you start off as
and
a leader.
Recognition.
More recognition, yeah, definitely. I want to say more respect, just because, you know, I also think respect is earned. But whenever someone is first promoted to a leader, everyone kind of sees that and they all kind of bounce off that guy's energy. And then, you know, that can be good or bad. But the point I was making is, you know, the leader has to be able to take that full responsibility of the team, good and bad. Because a lot of leaders will do some stuff for the team and then they'll succeed and they'll be all happy and take the credit. But, you know,
a lot of leaders will, if a follower does something great or the community does something good, they'll take all of that and be, you know, quote unquote, praised for it because they're the leader. But then the moment something bad happens, something negative happens, something like spotty happens, they just kind of curl up in a dark corner and they're not there. And you're like, where'd he go? And it's all pointed on all these other people. When in fact, if you're going to take all the positive credit, you have to take the negative too.
Yeah, you need to take responsibility, which brings us to the next thing, ownership. So,
you and I talked about this a little.
We did talk about this a little building up to it. So, ownership is really kind of similar to responsibility, but Jacob, I want to hear what you have to say about ownership in the leadership role. How does that correspond? How does that correlate?
You need to own up to your mistakes. You need to own up to, because it's easy, it's super easy. And I know no one's perfect. You and I have both done this. It's really easy to own up to something great that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like someone loses their wallet, right? And you go run and you give it to them and people see it. It feels great. And you love owning up to that. But then the moment something bad happens, no one likes owning up to that. And a good leader is owning up to those things because it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like it really does. But taking ownership of those things makes you a better person. It helps you evolve as a person, and it'll make you a more credible leader in the end, because people are like, okay, I know if I do mess up, because no one wants to mess up, but if I do mess up, then they have my back and I know I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like I already said, leadership is a responsibility. It's more of a responsibility than it is for taking rewards. You're going to face more downfall as a leader than you are going to face the up, which is why it's so hard for people to actually be good leaders, because, you know, Let's face it. People rely on ego.
Absolutely.
People want that extra boost to make their status more apparent.
That's how a lot of people, celebrities, and that's how a lot of them make it up, is because their ego is a certain way and they do certain things. And so, yeah, ego plays a huge part in all that. And it can be good. You know, ego can be, but the right amount of it for each person. Like, my ego, my right amount of ego won't be the same as yours. Mm-hmm. It'll be different for everyone, but it's about knowing where to draw the line.
Yeah, and that's where everyone fails, is because when you don't draw that line correctly, when you're just looking for more and more and more boost to your
they get greedy.
That you get greedy, and then it becomes detrimental to your entire team.
Yeah.
If a leader is relying on their ego boost for their team to, you know, for their team to succeed, then oftentimes it will never happen, because you get in this downward spiral of wanting more and more and more to make you look good. And then if you're only focused on you, you're not focused on the team, and not being focused on the team will lead to your collapse.
Absolutely. And it's also the mindset of, and it's the thought of, because, you know, everyone, when they have that ego and something good happens, it boosts their ego, and it's like a pump of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, okay, that felt good. Let me just, you know, let me just push it a little more. Mm-hmm. And that works, right? And they're like, let me just push it a little more. And it goes on for a while, but it the tolerance for it starts lowering with everyone around you. They all start noticing, like, what's this guy doing? Why is he doing all this? But you – and it's still not even that bad. You know, they're just a little irritated, but there gets to that point where you step over a line with something where you should have realized, I need to be humble and I need to, you know, focus on what's at hand.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Well, I actually got this sent to me by someone on the Swole is the Goal Instagram. Go ahead and follow that if you haven't already. The goal is Swole. And just so you know, what you send us, we'll probably look at on the podcast. I'm going to keep you anonymous, though, just so you know. Unless you don't want to be anonymous, just let us know. But these are the 9 leadership tactics.
We actually just talked about these in the class I came from.
Really?
We listened to Les Brown.
Yeah?
And talked about it.
Interesting. Well, let's see if it is the same thing that you heard. Step 1, learn from other leaders. I think this is important because, you know, while leadership is a hands-on skill that you need to learn, it's important to see what other people have done to be successful as leaders. Because though, you know, the best way to become a leader is just to be thrown into a leadership position, I think. That's the best way, is to be kind of thrown headfirst and learn how to respond. Because you can't learn how to respond if you're sitting from the outside. You know, it's easy to learn stuff when you're not actually in it.
Yeah.
For example, like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Sully or not, where the plane crashes in the Hudson River. It's a true story.
Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all the people who completed the simulations of the flight after they got hit by the birds were able to land it. It's a lot easier to do that when you know you're about to get hit by birds, you know?
Yeah.
When you're in the real thing, you
freak out.
You freak out. You don't know what to do. You need to be able to adapt. So that's why.
It's like in simulation is what you're talking about, right?
There's, yeah.
In that, you know nothing can happen. You're in a little room, and mm-hmm. you probably got a cup of coffee next to you or whatever the heck you're doing, right? But in the real thing,
You're responsible for hundreds of lives.
Everything happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got kids. There's, you know, everything rushes to your mind. And I actually just watched this where someone, like, it was like a near-death experience, and someone was like, why didn't you just, you know, do this to get out of it? And I understand from an outsider's perspective looking at it, they're like, okay, why didn't you do this? It seemed logical. But sometimes what they don't understand is in that moment, everything that you have to worry about on a day-to-day life rushes to your head. Mm-hmm. If you're a father and you have to go work 9 to 5 to care for your wife and 2 kids, that comes to your head. You've got a sick mother at home. That runs to your head. You've got friends who are maybe not doing that. It all just hits you. And stuff happens. It's so quick. So all of that hitting you in a 10-second period is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you lose focus and you mess up.
Yeah. But that can also be important, though, is to learn how to mess up, learn how to make mistakes and move with them, which is why I said the only way to get better at that is actually being in it, is actually being in those scenarios to where it's high stakes, high.
Yeah, failure is good.
Yeah.
You can learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the way I see it is you either win or you learn. Failing is quitting and giving up, because then
that's losing.
Yeah, that's losing. That's removing the opportunity to ever win again.
And like, because you've got a football game tonight, mm-hmm. which good luck. But I'm going to say this about it is, if you play a football game to your best ability, I mean, you're not breathing after, you're sweating, and you tried your hardest, and you still lost. You didn't lose. You learned.
Mm-hmm.
You learned. Okay, next time I got to do this to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's someone out there who, you know, misses a tackle or misses a catch and they just go sit on the corner or sit on the benches, they lost.
Yeah.
Even if y'all win, they lost because they just gave up and sat down.
Because you get trapped in that ego trap that's saying, I'm bad. I didn't do this. And, you know, they get all up in their own mind, and then that prevents them from improving because they don't see what they did. They don't see what they could learn from. They see what they did wrong, and that's all they're focused on.
It's literally like a block. Like a learning block in your head. If you're going with that mindset, you won't get past it for days.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem with that is if you don't get past it, you don't work through it, and you don't learn from it, it'll stay on your mind. So then the next game, that's all you're going to be thinking about, and you're going to get in your head, and it's going to screw you up.
Right.
But Leah, look, I just found this. This is the Les Brown's 10 Rules for Success. This is what we just talked about. And it's number one is believe in yourself. That's a given, right?
Yep.
But then there's number two is amaze your customers, like guide and support the people around you. And then there's take full responsibility for your life. We just talked about that, positive and negative. And then there's stand up to yourself because, you know, sometimes you're not nice to yourself. It's easy not to be nice to yourself. And so you got to stand up to that and get through it. And then there's go all out, of course, because you only live once and you need to have fun but also have a purpose in life. And then there's stay busy, because if you get in your head and you get bored, that's where things go bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you just think about things constantly. But if you're staying busy, then you're in a right mindset, because working is good. I used to not want to work.
Yeah.
I used to be like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay home and play video games. But now I want to work because it gives me something to do, but it also makes me happy.
Right. And I also feel like, to add on to that, when people aren't like using their mind for good stuff, they start to think about other things and get in this trap. Like if you're not doing anything, if you're like constantly doing something, then that's what you're focused on. You're focused on doing that to the best of your ability. If you have nothing to do, nothing to improve on, that's where you can get in your head and start to, you know, get upset with your life, which, you know, that's the opposite of progress. You need to do things that are going to make you better some way, shape, or form. And Jordan Peterson talked about this a little bit, to where, you know, he talked to some people that were he talked to a therapist, and that therapist was dealing with people who were depressed or in some sort of mental downfall. And he told them, here's what you need to do. Keep your apartment clean for 1 week. And the person would go home and they wouldn't be able to. So then he just said, okay, well, if you couldn't do that, keep your room clean for 1 week. They go back, can't do that. They come back, I couldn't do it. Then he goes, okay, well, just vacuum your floor for a week.
Every day?
Every day for 1 week. And then they did that. And they came back and they had some sort of, you know, self-accomplishment.
Yeah, fulfillment.
And, yeah, you know, self-fulfillment, yeah.
Because they accomplished something.
Mm-hmm. So they did that, and they go, okay, so you did your room. Now, so you vacuumed it. Now I want you to vacuum and clean your room for 1 week. And so he does that. He starts, you know, seeing that improvement over time until he has cleaned his whole apartment. He has done all this. He's exponentially stacked up what he first thought he could do, because it all starts with that really small first step. Because it feels like at some points if you're at a low, it feels like, you know, you're in a rut, there's no way out. Take the smallest step that you can confidently do.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
You and I just actually talked about this Wednesday, and it's basically the same thing as that, is doing everything at once. If you want to better your life, go do it. Mm-hmm. And doing all of it at once, though, is overwhelming, and
exactly.
you most likely will fail.
Yeah.
So you told me is start small. Every day that alarm goes off, get out of bed and make your bed. Don't sit there and hit the snooze button. Don't turn on Netflix for the first hour of your day. Get out of bed and make your bed. And if it stops there for a while, then that's fine. You made progress.
Mm-hmm.
Work at it slowly. Keep doing that until you have energy or the mindset to be like, okay, I'm going to go eat breakfast then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you just got to take it step by step to get somewhere. Because mm-hmm. some people go, like, back to what we were talking about earlier, not doing anything, which is what not getting out of bed, just laying in bed, hitting snooze. You're not going to move backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also not going to move forward.
Right.
You're just going to be sitting in this one spot, which is called the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And Steve Harvey told me or said, you need to get out of that because the comfort zone is the most dangerous thing in our lives. You get comfortable there and you sit there. You don't move anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you won't move back, and that's great, right? But yeah. you won't move forward either. You won't move up in the world. You'll just sit in this life that is comfortable. You won't have any new experiences.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned is comfort is not good for the organism. If you sit in your comfort all day, it's real easy to sit in your comfort.
It's real fun.
It's real fun in the moment. But then, you know, 10 minutes turns to 30 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour, an hour turns to the whole day of you just sitting around doing nothing. And then the next day you look back and you're like,
you can never get that.
You can never get that time back.
Ever. Like, never.
In the moment, it'll seem like, if you know, in the comfort zone, in the moment, it seems like I don't want to get out of this. But you will never, ever regret doing something productive. Like, in the moment, it might seem like if I'm in a really hard workout
tedious.
Or something,
yeah.
it's like, okay, this is kind of agonizing. But it's about knowing that that is temporary and it's going to lead to, you know, permanent fulfillment.
Yeah, because it could agonize you or be very tedious in the moment, but then you – and you may not want to do it, but after that workout, look back at it. You may be able to see your abs a little.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you may be
mm-hmm.
looking big.
Yeah.
Just think about that part of when you're doing things. It is tough, right? And about the time sense of things, I was just – one of my teachers told me a while ago is they were like, if you don't sleep for a night, you do pull an all-nighter, you can never get that time back. Some people think if you sleep – extra long the next night, you're catching up on sleep. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said those 8 hours that you don't sleep, it will literally take you years to make that time back.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it at first, but then I did because it's valuable time that you're just wasting.
Yeah.
And so I believe sleep is good, but I only sleep 6 to 7 hours. And mm-hmm. most people need more, but I don't like wasting time.
Yeah.
I like to wake up. You know how there's early risers and
yeah.
then people
mm-hmm.
that go to bed at 1 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
I'm both. I'll go to bed at 11:30 and I'll wake up at 6. I mean, I don't like wasting mm-hmm. daylight because nothing's going on at night. You can go out and drive and party with friends, but
right.
that's not productive. Nothing's open at night.
That's true.
So you have that.
Sleep for how long you need to sleep and then get after it.
Yeah, you have
that. A lot
that
of people will waste their time sleeping throughout the day.
Recharge.
Right.
And then, but some people... I believe going after what you love and what your dream, but some people don't sleep at all, and you still need a little sleep to
yeah.
recharge.
Well, everyone needs – it all depends on what you're doing. Obviously, like football players, athletes, they need more sleep to continue to get better at what they do.
Because you're out there running for
right.
4 hours
yeah.
straight.
Yeah, if you're not, then you know you don't need as much sleep. It all depends on you. It's about getting – like I feel like I just try to get as little sleep as I absolutely need for full recovery. And that's different for everyone else because if I wasn't playing football, I could probably do that in 5 hours.
Yeah.
But for football, you know, I'm trying to get 8 to 10 every night, which during season can be kind of annoying just knowing
it's difficult.
I have to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm wasting time.
And then you
got to
wake back up at 7:20, 7:30.
But to school.
You need the sleep because you're getting hit by guys that are 6'4", 280 pounds as a senior. Like that's...
So how this can kind of apply is, you know, do whatever you need to do for however long you need to do it. Decide what things are important to you and how much time you should be spending on them.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about one more of these Les Brown 10 rules for success.
Go ahead.
I won't go through the rest of them, but this one really spoke to me because I know a bunch of people that will take these things I'm about to say and really just engrave it into their head, but you don't need to do that, is someone's opinion is not your reality. Mm-hmm. Someone, you know, Les Brown, he was just telling that story, is he was in school, he was less developed. He was poor. So they put him at in some sort of mentally group. That's what they call him. He was a mentally child. Mm-hmm. And he told the and I don't like saying that word, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Also, we aren't using this as a slur in any way,
absolutely
shape, or form.
Not.
That is completely what it was called.
Yeah. And that's what he said it was. Mm-hmm. And he said he was in a class at one point, and a teacher came in and told him to write exactly what he's about to tell him on the board. And Les said he couldn't do that because he's mentally impaired, mm-hmm. from what people have told him.
Right.
And he said, just write what I say exactly on the board and do it now. He's like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not your student. I can't do that. He said he was really assertive. He just said one more time, do it now. And he finally said, you know, I am mentally impaired, whatever the other part of it was. And the teacher came around and he said, don't you ever speak those words again, because someone's opinion is not your reality. You don't have to live the life that someone else basically gave to you, because the first 18 years of, I'm only 17. Mm-hmm. The first 13 years of your life are really dictated by your parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're very dependent and you don't necessarily start developing all that free thought until afterwards.
Yeah, and so that's the good kind of opinion. You know, they give you basically for those first 13 years of your life, you're what your parents want you to be. You know, because I know the reason I'm in football is because my dad put me in it. I know I didn't want to do that when I was younger.
It could be for better or for worse.
He put me into it. And so that's the good kind of someone's opinion can be your reality, because it was at that age. But then you start – and it's the positive kind of opinion. But then you start growing older, and now we're in high school and people have a lot of negative things to say about how you live your life. And you need to know that there's only one – people will fill up your suggestion box with a lot of suggestions, but there's only one suggestion that you need to look at, and that's the one that you wrote to yourself. Your own suggestion.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people can tell you what you're supposed to be,
but they're not you.
They're not you. They don't live the life that you live. They haven't walked that country mile in your boots.
There's your new song.
There we go.
But they have a lot to say, but they've lived a totally different life than you. They may not know that you were raised differently, and you may not have had as much as them, and they will never know that. So you're like, why are they telling me how to live my life when they don't know anything about my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to tie that back to leadership, you know, you don't know where the people that are in your group are coming from. You don't know what they woke up to this morning. That's where you have to be able to be open and to recognize what other people are going through and to be able to move forward with that.
You also got to think about what you say, mm-hmm. because you may not think it's serious, and I've been guilty of this. You may not think it's serious, but it could hit someone home real hard that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. And you could be making a joke to one of your other friends that knows it's a joke, but this other kid sitting next to y'all who's your friend, it may trigger something in his brain and not be a joke to him.
Yeah.
So you really need to watch all that, because then if you are a leader, you can't be doing that, because then all of the respect for you and your credibility just goes away.
Yep. I like to say there's a saying to where it goes, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. It all starts with whatever thoughts you're having, and that translates to your words. That translates to who you become. Watch who you are and continue to grow.
That's great. I've personally never heard that, but I love that. Mm-hmm. And actions do really speak louder than words. And
especially as a leader, people are watching your every move at any given moment.
They may hear what you say, but if you don't do it, then they're like, why aren't you doing this? You told us you would do it. Mm-hmm. And I've had problems with that.
Yeah, you hear that, do as I say, not as I do. And that's one of the, that infuriates me. Yeah, that's...
And I'm not shy about talking about myself because I know I've had problems and maybe someone listening will have the same problem and be like, hey, I'm not alone in this. But I've had a problem with people very special to me and close to me being bothered by your actions speak louder than your words, because I've used to say stuff and not always do it. Mm-hmm. And I believe...
I think we can all attest to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to become a better person, and I think we all are in a sense. It may not be the same way as the person next to you, but you're all trying to get better. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy.
Definitely not.
Not.
Mm-hmm. So here's my message to all you listeners right now. Watch your thoughts. That's going to end up determining who you become. It all starts in your own mind. You have every opportunity to wake up every day and say, you know what? Today will be my day. Because today you have every resource you need. You know what that is? You know what those resources are? You and your mind. That's all you need.
You don't need anyone else.
You need no one else.
Through life. It's nice sometimes, mm-hmm. but worst comes to worst, you and your mind are your strongest power.
Yep.
Strongest asset. I don't know how to say that.
I want to end it with this because, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world right now that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
But when you look at it, it's all about the people who are in that world. And so what the saying goes is hard times create strong people. Strong people create good times. Good times create weak people. Weak people create hard times. That circle is the one that we live in every single day. So what we need to do as people to prevent that from happening, to lead others, is to start with ourselves. Be strong to create those good times that will last. And that comes in every single leadership position. Be a strong leader to where you're stronger than your ego, stronger than your own desire for recognition. Be strong enough to lead others in the right direction, even if it isn't easy for you. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you for having me on. This was a personal dream of mine.
This was awesome, man. I'm glad we could have you on. So, for all of you listening, until next time, Jacob, this is what we do when we end it. I'm going to say swole is the goal, and you're going to say size is the prize.
Size is the prize.
Ready? Swole is the goal.
Size is the prize.
Out.